I gotta feel bad for Corey Crawford. I know I could have started out with a lot of different leads, a lot of different things, mainly about guys who actually played today, but dude plays his butt off Saturday in Montreal. The team can't put a goal up in front of him. Then he watches on the bench as they put five up in front of Antti Raanta, who played well in his own right, not gonna lie. But I digress. Hawks win 5-3 against the Edmonton Oilers, snapping their three-game winless streak. Yes, it was against Edmonton, but the Hawks still played very well and started playing their type of game again. Hawks get goals from five different players, though the last one may end up being given to Shaw for his second of the night, and pretty well had the game controlled from the early second period on. Hawks started out sluggish, as they were the night before. However, after the Oilers' first goal, 6 minutes in, they woke up. And they played about as well as they had pretty much any time all year. A couple of nice goals from the middle lines, though. At this point, with Q changing up the lines every single night, other than Taves' line being the first line, I don't know which line is in what order anymore. I mean, you would think that, like, the one that Kane's on would be the second line, but it's like Kane, Shaw, and Saad, is that really a second line, or would it be the Hanzus line? I don't know anymore at this point, really. So, then the Hawks get a power play. The Hawks have been pretty good on the power play lately. They only got one power play chance yesterday, but they're pretty good. They got a delayed call, so they're going to get a two-man advantage for, like, over a minute. And then they give up an own goal on their own empty net. Ties up the game. I know the box score says Boyd Gordon, I cannot say his name for the life of me, scored a shorthanded empty net goal. But it was literally Patrick Kane thinking someone was behind him, passing it behind him, and the puck slid down the ice and beat Nick Leddy to the net. It's a freak accident, but it happens. Whatever. Then, next shift, Marian Hossa remembers it's his birthday, and remembers that Patrick Sharp last month scored three goals on his birthday, and remembers, you know, it's his birthday, scores on a slap shot right 30 seconds later, according to the box score. 30 seconds. Hawks wouldn't be behind again for the rest of the game. I know it seems like every podcast I talk about how amazing Marian Hossa is. That's because he is. But you know who else is awesome, besides pretty much everyone else on the team? Duncan Keith. Right before the Hawks' second goal, which put them in front temporarily, he stops a 2-on-1. They had a 2-on-1 going into their own zone. He poke checks it away, and that causes a second goal. The third goal, or on the Blackhawks' fourth goal, not the Marian Hossa goal, on Taves' goal late in the period for the Blackhawks' fourth, Duncan Keith intercepts a dump in, passes it into the neutral zone to Sharp, who passes it to Hossa to pass it to Taves, I think. Maybe it was Hossa to Sharp to Taves, I don't quite remember. And then, during the whole rest of the game, he made a ton of great plays in the neutral zone to keep possession for the home side. And after Taylor Hall, more on him later, scored to put the Oilers back within one, Brent Seabrook takes a page out of his partner's book, makes a great defensive play in the offensive zone to keep the puck in, then walks over to the middle of the ice, slaps it in. Might have been deflected by Shaw, as I said earlier, but either way, Blackhawks are up 5-3, and that ends up being the last goal of the game. They almost get a couple empty net goals of their own, but that's the end of the game. 5-3, Blackhawks win. Excellent return to form for the team. Now, this is the last time that the Blackhawks are going to face the Oilers this season, because the Oilers are not going to make the conference finals. Let's just put that out of our minds right now. Having won all three games. Yeah, this was a great bounce-back win for the Hawks against the worst team in the West. However, the Oilers have the building blocks to become a very successful team. And those people who remembered the Hawks from the Dark Ages can see some similarities forming. They've got a great young core of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, and Nail Yakupov, all of whom they drafted because the lottery gods were very kind to them for a few years, and they got like 3 number one picks in a row. However, they're missing some things that make them competitive. First off, their defense is terrible. Dead last in the league, giving up 3.48 goals per game. Second worst, the New York Islanders, are giving up 3.17. That's 0.3 of a goal per game worse. That's a massive drop-off. Only 2 teams are scoring more goals per game than the Oilers are giving up. St. Louis and Chicago are both at like 3.58, 3.57. They're really close to each other, and they're the only 2 teams that are above that level. Edmonton's offense isn't terrible. It's nowhere near Buffalo. But they're not scoring enough to put up with however the number of pucks they're letting in the back of the net. Secondly, to go along with the first point, neither one of their goaltenders, Devan Dubnyk, who the Blackhawks played all 3 games this year, or the recent signing Ilya Bryzgalov, are among the top 30 goaltenders in the league. Maybe Bryzgalov can get back up to that level because he had some time away from the NHL and his little thing in Philadelphia. We're just not going to think about that right now. But at this point, I would certainly put some of the better backups above either one of them as far as goalies are concerned. I think I would put Antti Raanta above either one of them. Or Martin Jones, the guy in LA, I'd probably put him above them. Or hell, even whichever goalie is the backup in Philadelphia, I'd put him above either one of them. So, you compare that situation to the Blackhawks during the end of the Dark Ages. Both teams had some really good young players to build around. That aforementioned group I met before for Edmonton. And then if you think Kane Taves, Keith Seabrook, and Sharp for Chicago, mostly acquired through the draft. The only one of those that I didn't mention was that Sharp was traded. We traded for Sharp from Philadelphia, which was a dumb move by them. But not much secondary help behind them. When the Blackhawks became the team they are now, their brain trust realized this and started acquiring some good players that they could afford under the cap, either through trading, free agency, drafting, whatever, and a decent backstop. But, I mean, I don't think anyone truly believes that Antti Niemi in 2010 or Corey Crawford right now are the best goalie in the league at the time. Antti Niemi, you could definitely argue right now is one of the best. But I don't think you could say Corey Crawford's one of the 2 or 3 best goaltenders in the league. I'd put him in the top 10, definitely top 15, but you're not going to expect either one of them to win you a game every time and time again. It's not like that. It's not Jonathan Quick, who you just lean on to drag you into and through the playoffs. It's not that. But with the Hawks scoring 3.5 goals a night, you don't really need them to drag you through the playoffs. Edmonton isn't there yet. They don't have a strong shutdown defensive pairing that can go against the top lines in the league, like the Blackhawks have had in Keith and Seabrook ever since the end of the Dark Ages. They don't really have an NHL-quality goalie right now. They put those pieces in place. I wouldn't be surprised if they made the playoffs, though. Due to the strength of the Pacific, they probably won't win the division anytime soon. I mean, Anaheim's really good. San Jose is really good. LA is really good. Now they have 2 really good goalies. And then there's Vancouver, who is good, but not as good as those 3 that I mentioned. But I could certainly see Edmonton putting a strong team on the ice consistently if they can get those pieces in place. Back to the Blackhawks, because I've talked about Edmonton for way too much. Their next game is Tuesday at home against Colorado. Hopefully Patrick Waugh doesn't decide to obliterate the dividers and start a fight with Q, because he'd probably get his ass kicked. Until then, go Hawks.